Hey, listen, we love to pray for other works of God taking a place around our area. Listen, we know that we're not the only house where people are gathered today singing how great is our God. And so we love to pray for other works of God. We're all on the same team. We're all fighting against the devil. Amen. And we're all going to be in heaven one day, and it's all going to sound better than what it sounded today. So today, I want us to go, if you can, I-10 just a little bit. We're going to go up to Comfort. Anybody from Comfort in the house today? Amen. All right. Thank you guys for slumming with us here in Bernie today. Appreciate you guys making the trek down. But listen, one of my best friends in the area pastors at Comfort Baptist Church. His name is John Music. Is that not a great name for a pastor, by the way, Music? I don't know if he can sing or not, but John is a great friend. John and I have been known to sneak out of the office during the week and meet at Popo's. And if you know what Popo's is, you know that that is good cooking and it will hurt you, right? You ever wanted to go on Popo's with like a BB gun and just like have target practice like back in the old county fair days, you know? If you've not been to Popo's today, maybe the Holy Spirit is just speaking to you right now saying you ought to go check it out, okay? But no, John and I love to meet there. We love to connect and we love to eat high caloric, greasy food and pray together and encourage one another. And I sent a note to Pastor John and said, hey, bro, we want to pray for you guys today. And how can we pray? And a lot of times when I send notes out or reach out to pastors like that, they send a program that's coming up or an initiative that they have or a building campaign and they need money, things like that. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But I want you to know the heart of my friend John Music when he said, hey, would you just pray today that the people of God would understand that the empty tomb should propel us to live for Jesus and pursue holiness, right? That our King is still alive. He's still active on earth today. And we, as those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we have an opportunity to put Jesus Christ on display for a world to see. Amen? And I said, John, I said, come on, can you give me something better than that to pray for? You know, I said, no, man, absolutely. I want to pray that direction. And so I love a pastor's heart that is always more consumed with making Jesus known. Amen? Not about platforms, not about bigger buildings or being conference speakers somewhere else. And God has to have those men and women and use them. But I love a pastor's heart, John Music, today. And Pastor John, I don't know if you'll watch this. You're preaching right now, and I hope you're preaching the sermon of your life. I hope you're preaching your guts out. But I want you to know that the Lord sees you and that your work is not in vain. And He's using you to make a kingdom difference. Will you grab a hand again as I pray together for Comfort Baptist Church and John Music? Are you guys okay that I pray for other places like that? And it's so good. I hope people are praying for us. I really do. And hey, listen, I know some of you guys are watching us online and maybe you used to come here. Maybe you used to worship here. We've not talked or seen each other in quite some time. Hey, can we connect? Can we just connect, just encourage and affirm each other and pray together? I'd love that. So maybe that's for somebody that's watching right now. That's this pastor's heart. That's this pastor's heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for being a God that is able to cover a multitude of locations. Y'all know that He's a big God, right? And God, we know that just as we can feel your presence here today, we know that you're at work at so many other houses and gatherings today, all across this area. And God, I know that you've got big plans in store for April the 7th, this day. And so, Lord, I pray that as preachers are preaching, as kids workers are kids working, and as singers are singing, and parkers are parking, whatever's going on, Lord, I just pray that you'd use it all for your glory and that people would be drawn to the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Wow. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for allowing my path to cross with a man named John Music, who pastors at Comfort Baptist Church. And I thank you for his heart for you, first and foremost, Jesus. I thank you for his humility. I thank you for his passion to see people say yes to Jesus. And Lord, I'm praying right now that you would just affirm my brother. He's probably preaching in this moment. And Lord, I pray that he would preach with fire. Lord, I pray that you would give him the right words to say. And God, I pray that people in that house would be dialed in, focused, God. And I pray that they would even be shouting him out and affirming him over what you're saying through your servant today. Lord, I pray that Pastor John Music would feel the delight that you have over him. And Lord, I do pray what his request was today, that the Church of Jesus Christ, those who've said yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we would live with fire and passion, that we would continue to run this race before us, that we would not throw in the towel, we would not grow weary, we would not give up, we would not be afraid, we would be strong and courageous, we would not cower in the corners, but we would put Jesus on a lampstand for everyone to see. May we preach Jesus just as John Music is doing so today. God, I want to thank you for being with us in this room as well. And Lord, I pray that I would decrease so that you could increase today and do what you want to do. And we're just going to give the Lord glory in advance, right? Is that okay, guys? Good things are about to happen. And we're going to give you the glory in advance for what you're going to do. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, can we just give the Lord a round of applause? Come on. Not a golf clap. Come on, let's give him a round of applause. Amen. Man, I had church this morning in my office. I had church this morning in my office. And listen, I have a group of men that come and pray with me and kind of set the tone. One of those guys today prayed, Lord, I pray that our pastor would have focus and not be distracted. Now, if you know me, you know that is a big prayer. But listen, we serve a big God and he is able to do anything. Amen. I love that. But I love what another man prayed. Another man that's not much of a sinner like the other guy that prayed that thing. But he said, Lord, I pray that pastor just speaks what you tell him to speak today. Is that all right? Can't go wrong there. Just speak what the Lord says to speak. And so the Lord's telling me, everybody, pull out your wallet and give me some money. I'm just kidding. That's not what he's told me to speak. Hey, I'm going to declare some things for you today, and I hope that this doesn't make you think any less of me, but I'm pretty excited about what God has done in my life and what I'm about to share with you. I grew up in a church that would... Well, we sang a song this morning in that prayer time as well that says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time I need him, he's always near. Some of y'all know it. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? Because he lives within my heart. Come on, how many of you know that song, right? We sang, yeah, that's good, I love that. And we prayed, but I grew up in a church that sang songs like that, great reminders. In fact, we ought to just have a hymn sing sometime and just have church because those songs will preach, right? But I grew up in a church where the Bible was taught. We believed that Jesus was the only way to salvation, and we kind of steered clear a little bit when it came to how God works today, and especially when it came to the Holy Spirit. And I grew up in a tradition, I grew up in a Baptist church, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm thankful for it, and I love the church. I had great church experiences growing up, man, and I am who I am today because of those people that poured into me. So it's their fault if you don't like what you see up here. It's that they invested and poured in. But I grew up in a time in which we didn't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit of God because we just couldn't figure it out sometimes. Sometimes, you know, God just moves in ways you can't figure out, right? You know that, right? He just does. And I grew up and went to a college where I took classes that, you know, and we tried to, you know, prove that all these evangelists that would come through town and hold, you know, conferences and arenas and all the faith healing stuff. And we would go and try to study that and read about it and try to prove that those things can't happen and all that stuff. But that's just kind of some of my history and my background. And how many of you know that the Lord has a way of kind of changing the way that we think sometimes? And he gives us some experiences sometimes that go against what we thought was bedrock and just the way life is, right? I'll never forget the first mission trip that I went on, and that was actually when we started this church. This church is 17 years old, and we started it, and one of the first mission trips we went on was in Indonesia. And some of you have heard me share this story before, but I had never personally experienced the laying on of hands on somebody, praying over them, and seeing healing take place. Now, I know some of you have been places where, you know, hey, you lay down, one leg's shorter than the other, and we're going to pray and pop it out. I get that, right? We had people testify to some things even earlier today, right? But I had never been a part of something like that in my Baptist world, okay? But the Lord gave me an experience with it. We were in Indonesia. We just led a little small group in a church of about 20 people, and one of the guys, they said, hey, listen, would you come to my house and pray over my mom? She's old. I want to take her on this trip, but she can't walk, and that's kept us from me taking my mom to this experience that I want her to have. So we went, the gentleman that was with me from our church, we went, and our host missionary went with us, and we went in, and he said, this is my mom, and this little lady just kind of makes her way into the room, barely moved. They kind of carry her in and place her there, and the missionary says, okay, we're going to pray. And she said, let's pray. And of course, she said, no, I really want us to pray. Of course, being the white missionary from America, you can't, you know, say no to that. You've got to give in and be a part of that and do what they ask you to do. You don't want to look like a phony, right? And so I begin to pray, and I start out with the prayers that I'm comfortable with, you know, those kinds that you can purchase on Amazon and download from Google and things like that. But then our prayer began to intensify, and it began to pick up. And my other missionary friend, he got lit a little bit. And then I kind of like, okay, let's go. And I just, God, we want all you have. God, we believe you can do this. God, and I begin to, and hey, you ever been praying and you kind of get hot? Your fingers start to tingle? I had hair on my head before this prayer experience, and it burned and singed it off in that moment. But we begin to pray in fire from top to bottom. Shaking, trembling. Anybody ever been there? Come on, somebody. And we begin to go hard and pray. We prayed for what I thought was like 6 days. And finally, we stopped. And the missionary that was the host missionary took that cane from that lady and said, okay, I want you to walk across the room to your son. I'm going, this is really rude to take an old lady that can't walk her cane and force her to do something that. But I'm telling you, right before my very eyes, God showed me, wow. Well, he showed me, you know what he showed me? That God does crazy things. Yeah. That through prayer, God can do some crazy things. Now, we talked about last week that people do crazy things, do they not? And we looked at a crazy story last week about a dead man coming back to life and proving himself, right? But guys, I'm telling you, I want you to hear something today, that God is a God that still does the things that we read about throughout Scripture. Do you believe that? He's not finished. The trumpet hasn't sounded from heaven yet. We're still here and breathing. So that must mean that God still has something he wants to accomplish on earth. Are you with me today? Come on, 11. Let's go. Let's go. He's got something he wants to do today. In fact, how many of you can recall a time in your life when you've seen God do something really odd and it did not make sense? Hey, what was it? Sir, back there in the back, you with the vest and the teal shirt on. Hey, just real quick, just shout it out. Can you? Don't preach because I got to get us to Hungry Horse for lunch, but
I prayed for a guy who
Come on. Prisoners getting saved and set free. Criminals. I think that's what, hey, that's what Jesus would do hanging on a cross, wouldn't he? Pray for criminals. Setting them free the day you'll be with me in paradise. How, someone else, you've seen God do something really odd in your life. What is it? Let you out of prison six years early? 6 years early. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This January. How about that? Listen, we have story after story. We had people tell us, I had punctured eyeball and God brought healing. Had a lady first service say, man, I've got a metal screw in my leg and it would stick out and it poked and hurt. And then one day it just went in and I don't know where it, she said, I think it's still in my leg somewhere, but I just don't know it's there. Now listen, those things can tend to sound a little odd and crazy, can they not? But for those of you that have had those experiences happen to you, you know that God does some crazy things. Why would we question or doubt it? You know, we have the propensity to just limit God. And we tend to make God try to fit in the boxes that we create for him. We kind of set parameters around and we say, as long as you do what I think is controllable, as long as you do, God, that is within the bounds and the structure of what I believe, we're good. And that's how we oftentimes function and operate, is it not? That we put God in a box. And then when he begins to act in ways that some of you have just described, well, that's not real. No, that's not what I see here. That's not the God I know, and that's the God that I can control and contain, right? God sometimes does crazy things that are miraculous. All throughout Scripture, and even in this room today, and some of you are bearing witness to that, there have been some things that would be labeled signs, wonders, and miracles that can't be explained by good behavior. We can say that, but come on. Or a hardened criminal being broken, a healing taking place, cancer diagnosis being wiped clean from the next report, right? That's just what he does. I want to encourage us today as we move on, not do people just do crazy things, not it's just the resurrection, a crazy story, but listen, God does crazy things, and let's not be putting God in a box. Be careful not to put him in a box. You know, I love the Bible. Do you ever read it?
Every day.
Every day? I love it. I love God's word, and I am thankful for growing up having a desire to read the word of God and study it more. But I love that what we're talking today is not just my testimony from Indonesia or testimonies of some of those in attendance here today, but Scripture is literally littered with so many stories that can't be explained. I mean, seriously, think about it. Abraham, your wife for 90 years is going to have a baby. Is there any 90-year-old women in the room today? Hey, let me ask you, any women above the age of 50, let's just go there, raise your hand. Can you imagine God coming to you today at Dairy Queen and saying, listen, you're about to give birth. First of all, there'd be a lot of men weirded out about that, right, too? Just as Abraham kind of, did he laugh? Sam, he laughed. Are you kidding me, God? Yeah, your wife's going to have a baby. You're old, but just trust me. Or what about that time in Scripture when Peter comes to Jesus and he says, listen, I've got to pay taxes, but I don't have any money. You know what Jesus says? Tough luck. No, he didn't say that. He said, Peter, go catch a fish and open that fish's mouth, and you're going to find coin in that fish's mouth in order to pay your taxes. Come on, any fishermen in the house? Bass Pro can't recreate that miracle. Seriously, caught a fish, open its mouth, and there's a coin. Pay your taxes with. Or what about when God showed up to a man by the name of Moses and began to talk to him through a burning bush that was set ablaze, but Scripture says it wasn't consumed. Can you imagine Moses going to Pharaoh that first day and saying, hey, who sent you here? Well, God did. Well, how do you know? Well, he, a burning bush was talking to me. Pharaoh would have fallen off the rocker. I mean, off his throne, right? He would have fallen off, right? But yet we know that that's how God chose to spoke to Moses about going and setting the people free. What about Peter walking on water? How do you explain that one? That's impossible scientifically. Have you ever tried it? I know you have, because I have too. It doesn't work, especially a dude my size. It just doesn't work, right? Oh, but that didn't make sense. Do you think the guys in the boat that day when they saw Peter walking, do you think they questioned and like, come on. They saw it. It was real. Hey, Naaman, you've got leprosy. Naaman, I want you to just go down the Jordan River, wash yourself 7 times. Your skin will be healed. Talk about skincare product. Right. That's awesome. We go to the Holy Land and I come back home with Dead Sea products all the time. I'm just hoping that it'll take care of some of this. Hadn't found the weight thinner product yet, though. I'm still working on that, right? Hey, or what about this time when Gideon and his army of 32,000 were facing the Midianites of 135,000? You do the math, Chris. 135,000 versus 32,000. Pretty good chance we know who's going to win. But if that wasn't enough in this story, God says, hey, 32,000, Gideon, is too much for you. And he whittles it down to 300. But then we know that that army of 300 go and defeat the Midianite army of 135,000. Is that not miraculous? Hey, but the story gets better. You know what their weapons of warfare were? A pitcher, a lamp, and a horn. That's all that God told them to go to battle with. Now, you military people, come on now. I'm no military man, but I know if my commanding officer say, listen, we're going in to fight 135,000. Just get a pitcher, get a jug of sweet tea, whatever it is. Get you a lamp, and you get a horn. Come on, somebody. But that's what God does. That's what he does. Or what about that day the disciples came to Jesus and said, guys, Jesus, there are thousands of people here. You've been preaching a long time, bro. You're like that preacher at 1910. You need to, they're hungry. Let them go. Well, what do we have to feed them? Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Great. Go feed the people. What? Who? How does that happen? God? That's what he does. He does some crazy things. Are you picking up what I'm putting down yet? Things that don't make sense. Things that just don't make, and listen, there were witnesses there. There were people there. They saw it, right? And to them, they in that moment, I don't think they were going, oh, this is a miracle. We call them miracles because we know how the story ends for them, but they're sitting there, their jaws are dropped going, this is crazy. Why does God do stuff like this? He does it to prove himself. He does it to show that he is more than able. Someone right now listening is going through a difficult time and you feel like you're not gonna make it through. But God, he's done it before and he can do it again. Come on, somebody, you better give him a clap of praise. He can do that. Nope. That's the God of the Bible. That's not the God of today. Oof. Wow. I love a story I'm going to read to you real quickly if I can, bits and pieces of it from John chapter 9. You guys okay if I read some of the Bible today? Man, I love the book of John. John chapter 9, we find a story of God doing some crazy things in order for his will to be done, his power to be put on display. We find in John chapter 9 a man that's been born blind. And as was Jewish custom back in the day, they had the belief that if there was some illness or some calamity or some setback that had come upon you, it must be due to some sin in your life. Man, if that's true, I shouldn't even be standing here today. If all the sickness and illness is because of sin, man, I'm laid out on a stretcher getting an IV somewhere. You know what I'm saying? But they believe that if you're facing a setback, it's because you must have done something to deserve that. Well, this story in John chapter 9 only goes to reinforce that what we see as setbacks are actually set ups for God to show himself and for God to move and work and do things that just don't make sense. Miracles, some wonders, some things that we can't put and fit in our box of who we think God is. Are you with me today? Am I making sense to anybody? Y'all ready to go home? Hey, John chapter 9, this guy comes to Jesus. They're asking, is this man born blind because of his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus answers in verse 3, it was not because of his sin or his parents' sin. This happened, there it is, so the power of God could be seen in him. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Verse 6 says that Jesus sees this blind man, and Jesus takes an unorthodox approach to bringing healing here in John chapter 9. It says Jesus spit on the ground, he made mud with saliva, and he spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. Anybody recently been to the eye doctor and you kind of had a little detached retina or some glaucoma or anything like that? It's probably safe for me to say that the doctor did not treat that with probably did not do that. Probably didn't spit in some dirt, create some sort of doctor medicinal compound, and pack it over your eyes. But that's what we see Jesus doing here. A little dirt, a little spit. And then it says, Jesus told the man, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. And so the man went and he washed and he came back seeing. Now listen, here's a question that I have. Did anybody lead him to this pool of Siloam? We don't read that his parents went with him. We don't know. So what could even make this story a little bit more unbelievable is if Jesus not only just spit in some mud, put it on the dude's face, but says, now I want you to go find your way to the pool, blind man. That's rude. I thought taking a cane from a woman in Indonesia was rude. That's really rude, Jesus. Don't know the answer to that. However, we know that the man finds his way to the pool. And he does exactly what Jesus tells him to do. That's a story for someone today. That the only appropriate response when God calls you to do something is obedience. You do it. You do it. If Jesus calls you to take a crazy step of faith, hey, do it for him. Come on. In fact, the miracle that you might be needing is just going to come as you believe and take that step to do what Jesus has called you to do. This blind man finds his way to the pool. He washes, and it says he came back seeing. Now look at the response of his neighbors and the religious people that were present there. His neighbors and others who have known him as a blind beggar, they begin to ask each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, but others said, no, it's his doppelganger. It's somebody that looks like him. That's not really him. That's an AI version of the person we used to know. There is no possible. Isn't that how people are? Something miraculous of God happens, and because we can't figure it out, we write it off. There's no way that could happen. No, it's a guy that looks like him. The sun's not hitting the right. I don't think that's really him. It's different. This blind man who now can see begins to let people know. He says, yes, I am the same one. And they ask, who healed you? What happened? As if this isn't crazy enough. Jesus did it on a day you're not supposed to be healing people. It's work. Wow. He's so scandalous, that Jesus. The blind man began to tell them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes. Then he told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. And so I went, and now I can see. The religious people begin to question him more. They're interrogating him. This is NCIS type stuff, Hearn. I mean, this is just stuff they're interrogating and asking. Just like, this doesn't make, come on, we got to figure this out. Again, it's got to fit within our parameters of what's possible. Are you with me today? This man begins to have to defend himself time and time again. And finally, we read down in verse 29, says, I don't know whether this man is a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. Hey, can I just tell you something real quick? Let me just pause right there in the story. When it comes to sharing our faith story and witnessing for Jesus Christ, don't get so caught up in the scripture memory path that you were told you had to use. Or don't get so caught up in the five-fingered method and the point that, you know, every finger has a point and blah, blah, because that can be confusing. If you will simply steal a page from this blind man's story here in John chapter 9, just tell people what Jesus has done for you. That story is enough. I don't know how I was healed, guys. I don't even know who Jesus was, which means that he hadn't seen him yet. I don't know. It's this guy. I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or not. You guys are raking my parents over the coal, questioning them. Some of y'all don't even believe I'm the same guy. I'm just telling you this. I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found was. You just tell people what Jesus has done for you. Now, it might weird them or freak them out. They might believe that Jesus is not still saving criminals. They might believe that your past is too sordid or ugly. They might not believe that, hey, you're really hearing correctly, or there's been some religious person that is trying to pull one over on you, bro. It just doesn't fit here. And I don't know about all that. I'm just telling you guys, I went down, had a guy put mud pack on my eyes. I did what he told me to do. I went and washed in Siloam, and I could see. I don't care if he was a sinner. I just know that I've got my eyesight now. Don't let anybody talk you off your miracle. Don't you let anybody question your story. But you tell it. You tell it. I love how this chapter ends because Jesus finally has an encounter once again with this young man. He's being interrogated by religious people. Again, religious people have hard times with miracles, don't they? Yeah. Listen, when I go to third world countries, signs, wonders, and miracles are the norm there. They're expecting that. They're desperate. They're blind. They're beggars. Their skin is falling off. They have nothing. They're desperate for Jesus. And so when Jesus shows up to them, and provide something. When Jesus shows up to dreams, you know, Muslims are being saved by the thousands because of a man dressed in white showing up in their sleep. Yes. Yes. Signs, wonders, and miracles ought to be the norm for us. We ought to be expecting that, America. What's changed in us? Last Sunday, we believed in a story that's kind of hard to believe. We believe that a dead Savior came out of a grave, rolled a stone away. We believe that last Sunday. Do we believe that he can heal people today, a week later? Do we believe he can give blind people their sight back? Do we believe he can show up in your financial situations that you're dealing with right now? Hey, do we believe that he can show up and help you with your self-esteem issues? Hey, do you need friends? Hey, what a friend we have in Jesus. Come on. Do we believe those things? Wow, Jesus finally has an encounter back with this young man. And Jesus is asking this young man, hey, who healed you? And the man answered, you know, this, I don't know who he is, but I want to believe in him. Jesus says in verse 37, you've seen him, Jesus said. This guy's standing now looking at Jesus. He's seeing him, I believe, for the first time. He'd heard the voice. He went and washed, gets interrogated by religious people, and now he's face to face, but he still doesn't know. Isn't it interesting? You remember what got Mary's attention at the empty tomb last weekend we talked about? It was she saw the risen Jesus, but she didn't recognize him until what? She heard his voice. Oh, man. Come on. The Bible's cool, guys. Yeah. It's this point where this young man, Jesus says, you've seen him. And he is now speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said. And he worshiped Jesus. We live in a day and a time, and I get it, and I'm that way sometimes too, where in order for me to really believe something, I've got to see it, right? You been there? I've got to believe it before I can see it. That's the way I was. And again, the Lord jacked me up in Indonesia. Messed me up. But I'm just at the place now where I believe that the opposite of that statement is this. Believing leads to seeing. Yes. This young man in John chapter 9 believed in someone he had never seen. He believed enough to find his way through crowded streets down to a pool to wash off the mud. And it's interesting to me that Jesus used dirt. That Jesus would use saliva. Let me take you back to the garden and remind us how we were all created. That God took the dirt of the ground, soil, and it says that he formed it in the shape of a human. But that thing was lifeless until God did what? You know, when you breathe, there's stuff coming out. Besides odor, there's particles. Y'all remember when we used to have to wear masks around here? It was mandated. Those were good times. And if you still need to wear one, no shame. We're cool with that. But we were formed by that. We were given life. That's how we were created. And isn't it interesting in John chapter 9 that this young man who's been born blind receives his best life through the same compounds that Jesus used when he created man. Dirt and spit. A miracle. Guys, that's a big story to believe, isn't it? Michelle, do you believe that story? Yeah. Sam, you believe it? You do. It's hard to believe those things. And I think sometimes when we don't see things, it's hard for us to believe. But I'm really believe that when we believe, we're going to see things more than we see them now. May I ask you a question today? Do you believe that God is still capable of some of those things that I just read to you today through Scripture? Do we believe that you could pull a coin out of a fish's mouth if that was God's will? Do you believe that if you don't have much to eat and much to make it through the end of the month, that with just a little bit of bread and fish that God could sustain and feed you and take care of you? Do we really believe his promise that if I take care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, do I not care more for you than even those things? Do we believe that? I think believing is seeing. And guys, can I just encourage you with something? I believe that signs, wonders, and miracles are going to be what God wants to use in this day and time to validate, verify, and prove who he is. And yeah, and we not need to be afraid of, now listen, we don't need to manufacture that. And we don't need to be kooky and try to concoct and force that. No. But I believe that God can do those things today. In fact, I'm reminded of what he says to us in his word, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. That doesn't mean that he stopped whenever the Bible was finally written and closed. That's the belief called cessationism. They believe that the signs, wonders, or miracles ended whenever the Bible was complete. I don't believe that. I believe that if God wants to move and work in ways that don't make sense, he can do it. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. Amen. Made a way where there was no way. Am I talking to anybody today? I don't know what you're doing tomorrow, but I think I have a pretty good idea. That a lot of you have gone and purchased some ISO type of glasses because you're getting ready for an eclipse. Depending on where we're at tomorrow, somewhere throughout this hill country, God's country. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, if you've moved here from the West Coast, come on, round of applause. Is this not a great place to live right now? Come on, West Coast. And hey, West Coast, don't y'all be ashamed and tell us where you're moving from. It's okay when I ask you, don't be embarrassed about that. My wife's embarrassed about me all the time, but she still loves me and proud of it, I think. Tomorrow we will gather and we're gonna close schools and carve out time and put on glasses and look silly for 3 to 5 minutes to watch an eclipse happen. And we'll ooh, awe, and wonder. Hey, can I just be a spoiler alert right now? This is not the first time that this has happened. And I'm not just talking about scientifically and the history of the earth that records have recorded, but I actually... Tomorrow's going to pale in comparison to an eclipse that took place years ago. Because we read in Matthew chapter 27, I believe around verse 45, that when Jesus hung on the cross, the earth went dark, the whole land, it says, for 3 hours. Not 3 minutes, but for 3 hours. This was not the only time that that had happened, even in Scripture. We know that when that same Moses was in front of Pharaoh trying to have the Israelites delivered, we know that there were a series of plagues. You remember the plagues? Well, the final thing that let Pharaoh release the Israelites was when the firstborn of each family was taken in the night. You remember that? Spread the blood over the doorposts and the first to protect you from death, but if not the firstborn, Pharaoh even lost his son. But do you know what happened even the plague was before that one? It was this one called darkness. Darkness. Tomorrow won't be the first time the earth's gone dark, but there's significance in it, I think. And may it serve as a reminder to us that when Jesus hung on the cross, the whole land for 3 hours was dark. And how that must have been a little confusing and maybe concerning for those present. That as a bludgeoned, naked Jesus hung there just before he died, darkness covered the land. I believe it's symbolic of the darkness of something called sin in our lives. Jesus had to deal with that darkness. Jesus had to endure that. God had to turn his back because he's holy and he can't even stand to look at that state. But the darkness was needed. Then the earth began to quake. Right? You remember we just sang that? The heavens roared. And Jesus mentions those three final words, "It is finished." He died for us. darkness tomorrow, it's going to be a fun spectacle to see, if we can see it. But I'm reminded of an eclipse of greater proportions that is a game changer if you'll let it be. You see, more than being wowed and amazed for 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, wherever you live, my question is, what about the 3 hours in which a man named Jesus hung there for you in darkness? And he took on our stuff. He gave up his life so that we could have the chance to have life. My friend, what will you do with that? What will you do with that? Have you ever come to that place in your life where you make the declaration that one of those Roman guards, maybe been the very one given the directive and the orders that day on what to do, but yet we read in Scripture that this Roman centurion, it says in Scripture, in seeing how Jesus died, he declared, surely this man was the Son of God. Have you declared that in your life, friend? Does that make sense to you today? Listen, God loves you. And with God, anything is possible. When he's in it, anything's possible. Captives set free. Addictions, strongholds broken. Lives restored. Purpose discovered. Joy that never ends. My friend, do you know my Jesus? He's here today. And with him, anything is possible. Hey, would you stand with me today? And God's crazy. And one of the crazy things about him is that he loves you. Don't keep him in a box. Know that there's more that he could do. There's so much more. What's the words, Jimmy? Come on. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to this love. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with you. With God, all things are possible. In fact, I'd love for you today. Our ministry team's going to be down here and they would love to encourage you and step into any of the situations you're dealing with. But more importantly, they'd love to share with you what Jesus can do in your life. He's not finished with you yet. God, thank you for the reminder today that you are God of the miraculous. And there's someone listening today, whether in this house or online, that maybe feels like there is no possible way you could love them or want to have a relationship with them. But yet, God, that's just one of the things about you that we can't figure it out. When we've done so many things to hurt you, so many things that are wrong, when we're actually responsible for your death, Jesus, because you paid a debt for us. It just speaks to the great love that God has for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm praying today, God, that someone would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And that you would step into their life, transform them, make them new, and begin to use them for your glory. Jesus, this week as we go about our life, may we not hide you under a bush or put you in a box. Oh no. But may we let you shine for all to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. We'll see you. Have a blessed week.